Proverbs chapter 6, if you will, look at verses 20 through 23. We're going to read all of these verses together rather than every other verse as we normally do because it's such a short passage. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. Everyone on verse 20 now. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. This morning I want to bring a message I've simply entitled, When the Bible Becomes a Priority. So Heavenly Father, I come to you now asking once again for your help, that you would speak through me today to say the things that need to be said, to remind us of the things that we need, whereof we need to be reminded. And Lord, help me to say the right things. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Even though Solomon did not always follow his father's advice, we can clearly see that David gave him good advice in all areas of his life. And you say, well, how could that be? David was a sinner, and Solomon definitely was a sinner, and his son Rehoboam was definitely a sinner. Well, let me just remind all of us of a simple truth. God has no one down here on this earth to work with but a bunch of sinners. Now, there are no perfect people alive today, not a single one. Never has been since the Lord Jesus, and before him there weren't any either. God commands us and says, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. Then he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. So how do you work around that? Simple fact is, all God has to use down here are sinners. That's all what we are. We're saved sinners, but God can still use us. And God used David to teach Solomon. And in turn, God used Solomon to teach his boy Rehoboam. And Rehoboam also did not always follow his father's advice. Seems to me that's kind of a universal problem with all of us, isn't it? There are no perfect parents, there are no perfect children, there are no perfect pastors, there are no perfect church people. And so the universal problem is we're commanded to do better than what we do, he helps us along the way. This just goes to prove something, though. It goes to prove that just hearing the instruction of the Word of God is not enough. You say, but Pastor, doesn't faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Well, of course it does. We have to be willing. In other words, we need to practice what we hear and what we learn. God teaches us something, we need to put it to action and do what we can to do that. Yes, the Word of God can change us. No one can hear the Word of God or read the Word of God without having their life touched in some way. I mentioned a little bit ago of the 647 tracts, children's tracts that went out and 150 adult tracts that went out on Thursday night. Some people will read those tracts and their lives will be changed, perhaps. Some will look at it and throw it away. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that in the Old Testament they heard the same gospel that we hear, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So it's not just enough to sit and listen to a sermon, or sit and listen to a lesson, or sit and listen to some kind of a teaching. We must also personally apply that and make it part of our lives. And that's why it's so important to be able to respond to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. James addresses this in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The Word of God says, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. But the next phrase kind of throws it all together. It says, deceiving yourselves. I think there are many today, not all, but many who hear the Word of God and think that makes them spiritual, but it does not. And James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, see, there's the application, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. What an incredibly strong passage. You see, you're not going to have your life changed by osmosis. It has to be taken. The Bible even talks about those who are hunters. And it says that a man is a fool who hunts but doesn't consume what he hunts. In other words, he doesn't roast that which he took in hunting. He just lets it die. So we have a responsibility to the Word of God day by day, in our daily reading, in our Sunday school classes, in our preaching services, in our revival services, to make things personal and make it that way. You see, it's very, very important. We live in a sin-darkened world. You see, and the Lord teaches us here at this church in Sunday school and preaching services, and we need to learn to respond to what God gives us so that we can keep it. And in other words, continuing therein, as James wrote. And we live in a sin-darkened world, and there's no light at all on the path except for the Lord Jesus. And even that has become obscured to a certain degree. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the light of the Lord has become obscured somewhat and to a certain degree because of the kind of so-called Christianity that we live in many circles today? In many cases, Christians no longer want Christ to change their world, but rather add Christ to their world. That doesn't make a difference. Jesus has become the accessory rather than the necessity. Jesus has become the picture on the wall rather than the foundation upon which we stand. Jesus has become the emergency brake instead of the main system. And that's true in many ways. Now listen, I say that because I've been in the ministry long enough to recognize this. I'm not talking just off the cuff. I'm not making this up. I'm saying it from experience with other Christian people and Christian groups. In other words, Jesus, he is there if you happen to need him. You see, we don't want it to be that way. And since we honestly need him all of the time, why only look at him as a nice accessory in our lives? All of you this morning when you got up, I'm going to assume something. Can I do that? Every now and then I assume, and I'm usually correct on that. You got up this morning and looked at yourself in the mirror, and you said, how can this possibly be true? I know what you did. And you looked and you thought, something happened overnight. What was it? I didn't look like this when I went to bed last night. So you got up this morning and you washed your face and you brushed your teeth and you combed your hair and you did all the other things that you do. Some of you ladies put on a little bit of makeup and you made sure your hair was in place just like it was supposed to be. You put on your clothes and then you might have put on a necklace or you might have put on a ring or you might have put on a bracelet of some kind. Those are called accessories. You're fine without the accessories. And many people look at Jesus as an accessory. I'll just add him. I'll say, in Jesus' name, at the end of my prayers. I'll sit in church. I'll hold a Bible. I'll carry it with me wherever I go. No, Jesus should never be an accessory. He should be the main thing. And so it's okay, by the way, if you just read the book, and then you're supposed to do that. As my pastor taught me years ago, you pour water through a strainer, it's not going to hold a lot of water. He said, but it is going to be a cleaner strainer. So you may not retain everything that the Word of God goes in, but it's going to help you somewhat. But then we have a responsibility to continue therein, like James says, continuing in the perfect law of liberty. That's what we are supposed to do. There's a better way. You know, with believers who say that they love the Lord, the Bible has also become just exactly that. And it's a book that we read, and that's okay, and we should. And there are many believers today who do not crack the book and open it up. And that's if all they read was the cover, that would be okay. It would be more Bible than most people would read in a month. But the truth of the matter is there's a better way. The lesson that Solomon teaches his son Rehoboam in this particular message is the lesson of letting the Word of God become a priority in your life. Not just a book that sits on a shelf, not the accessory that you can go to church without. You didn't need that ring. You didn't need that bracelet. You didn't need that necklace. It's nice to have it, of course. It's nice to do your best and to look your best as much as you can. But some of those things are just accessories. They're not necessary, you see. The Bible is not just a map that can show us the way to heaven, you see. It is a map of the paths of life. We sing a song, I'm going to change the words just a little bit, but heed what it saith and do what it willeth. It is the living way. Psalm 16 and verse 11 says, thou wilt show me the path of life. See, the word of God is a path in life. We must understand that. The answer to every problem that we have, no matter what psychologists and psychiatrists say today, the Bible is the answer, and it matters not what the question is. It matters not what the problem is. The bottom line, much of the problems that we as God's people face and that the world faces today is because of a neglecting of what God says in His Word. God gave us commands, God gave us admonitions, and God gave us principles whereby we can live and find success in the Christian life. Dr. John Rice wrote a book years ago that's called How to Make a Grand Success of the Christian Life. It's basically a book of obedience to the Word of God, learning not only what it says, but then making that personal application. And no, this message is not from that book. So I've written down a few points, and I want you to follow along with me if you would. I'm going to use different places in the Bible. But what can we do to make the Bible a priority in our lives? I'm not talking about getting up in the morning and sitting down half asleep, half awake, however you want to call it, and open up your Bible and stumbling through a chapter every morning. I'm not talking about that, or maybe every night. I'm talking about more than that. I'm talking about the application of that truth. And if you're one that takes notes, and I encourage you to do that, if you can, point number one, give the Bible a first place priority in your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. Notice these words that are given here. Every word of God, by the way, is pure, and they're all in the Bible on purpose and with a stated purpose. So the words, you can't overlook them. And if you'll look here in verses 20 and 21, notice what it says. First of all, he says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Did you see those four admonitions that are given there? Keep, what does that simply mean? In this instance, the word keep means to obey them and guard them as if they were something of great value. That's exactly right. The word keep in the Bible is often used as a military term, to where you would place a garrison around it and protect it with everything that you have and to guard it with everything that you have. But we don't do that all too often. Obey those things. Guard them like they were something important. Then notice the next phrase, forsake not. The way that I see this is don't trade them for a cheap imitation. Don't forsake what the Word of God says for something new and unheard of, or it seems a little bit easier, or whatever it might be. Forsake not. Don't trade them for a cheap imitation. Every year, the schools open up, and then they close at a particular time, and you hear all kinds of advertisements about buying backpacks and pencils and pens and boxes and shoes and things for gym class and things for this class and things for that class and all that. And so often, I think about backpacks. Should I be thinking about backpacks? I think about how many today will look for the lowest price on the cheapest thing they can find. Well, school starts in the fall, and the thing that follows fall is a thing called winter. It's very, very cold. Parents that buy the cheap backpacks find that they crack in the cold, and then they have to go buy something else to replace the one that got torn up, because maybe the child dropped it and broke the ribbing that goes around the outside, or maybe they opened it up too many times and it cracked time and time. Oh, it was cute and it had a nice picture on it and all the rest of it. It may have been a good deal, but it wasn't a good value. And I've always encouraged parents, no matter what your budget is, try to buy something for your kids that's not going to break the first time they open it up. Make it not only a good deal, but a good value that's going to last. And often what we do is we trade things, from when it says here to forsake not, we trade a cheap imitation of something that's not nearly as good. Next thing is this. It says, bind them. And then what does this mean? This is talking about keeping those commandments that God gave close to your heart. And one of the best ways to do that is to memorize Scripture, to familiarize yourself with what the Word of God actually has to say. Not what someone necessarily says about the Bible, but what the Word of God actually says. And then notice what the next phrase was here. It said, tie them about thy neck. That draws a picture in my mind of keeping them out to where you can see them, to where they're visible. You wear something about your neck, you see it. You look down and you see it. You look in the mirror and you see it. Why? Because it's there. It's not something you have to go look for. And we would rarely ever have to worry about making decisions if we would just let the Bible call the shots. If we would just let the Bible say what it says and then follow what it says. In other words, let the Bible lead you in business decisions and in family decisions and in educational decisions and in your daily decisions that you must make. Let the Word of God call the shots. And by the way, that is a principle that is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, where the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What does that mean, to let them dwell in all wisdom? Let it call the shots. Let it ump your game. Not just own your team, but let it ump your game. In baseball today, there are owners of teams that sit up in the bleachers in their own little private box, and they sit there. But they're not calling the shots. Maybe they will after the game. But the one down on the field, the ump's the one that says, you're out. Strike one, strike two, strike three. Calling the shots. He's the one. In other words, let the Word of God be the ump of your life, day by day, calling the shots and making the decisions. So that's point number one. Give the Bible a place of priority in your life. Don't let it only be an accessory that you carry with you to services in the church or something that you own someplace. Let it be the priority. Point number two, if you're writing things down, is when the Bible becomes a priority, it also prioritizes your life. Let me say it again. When you make it a priority, it does something for you. It prioritizes your life. Why? Because it's in there. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 22, when thou goest, look what it says. This is so good. It's just right here in the Bible. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. That's a promise that God gave in His Word about prioritizing your life. And notice how it makes the priority. A life that is out of control is not a life at all. It is merely an existence. The Bible will lead you. It will not ever steer you wrongly, and neither will it push you, but it can lead you. You see, in the Word of God, God gives a command. God gives an admonition. God doesn't say, I will kill you if you don't follow this. He's not going to drag you along. He's not going to stand behind you and push you and make you do things. You have to make the choice that you're going to let it lead you and guide you. The Bible will keep you. It will never let you go. The Bible will talk to you, for it always has the answer. The answer is in the book. But if the Bible remains a closed accessory in your life, you'll not know the answers that the Bible has to give for the problems and questions that you've got. The Bible, I wrote down these thoughts. The Bible cannot lead you if it's not in front of you. And it cannot guard you if it's not in the same room. And it cannot talk with you if it's not right there with you. You've got to have the Word. Psalm 119, these verses are true, but they've become trite. We know where they are. But so often we don't even think about it when it comes to making decisions. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Psalm 119:9. And then it gives the answer, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. But then it gives the answer of how to make that come about. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Every Sunday morning, we have our pledges to the beautiful American flag, to the beautiful Christian flag, and to the Word of God. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy Word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet. Like the verse that we read a minute ago in Proverbs 6 and verse 23, I will make it a lamp unto my feet, and I will make it a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The principle is there. making it a priority. It cannot lead you if it's not out front. It cannot guard you if it's not with you in the same room, I mean being close to it, and it cannot talk with you if it's not right there with you. How many times have you, sitting in this room this morning, had something come into your life that you needed the Word of God and verses that you had memorized came to mind and gave you the answer? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And again, notice what it says in verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Say, what's that last part mean? Sometimes you don't have your Bible with you. I don't always carry a Bible with me. And if I count the ones that I have in my phone, yes, because I carry my phone with me wherever I go. So the Bible is always there. And I can always look something up, or I can always read whenever I choose. Yes, that's true, I can. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes I don't take the time to open it up. But I quote it in my head and in my heart. Why? Because it's in there. Third principle, and that is this. When the Bible has priority, it will give light to your path. That's verse 23. When the Bible is a priority, it will give light to your path. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I've written down some short, little quippy phrases that fit this verse. Let me read them to you. A closed Bible gives no light. Wow. That's right. Why? Because it's inside. A closed Bible offers no counsel. A closed Bible lights no paths. A closed Bible does not threaten a self-made lifestyle. A closed Bible gives no instruction. A closed Bible does not lead. A closed Bible does not keep. And a closed Bible does not talk to you. That Bible has to be a part of, it has to be prioritized. I don't know how much Bible you've memorized. I don't know how much Bible I've memorized. Every now and then, what I'll do is when I'm all by myself, maybe you do this, maybe you don't. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I do. In my own mind, I'll start quoting the Bible verses that I know I've memorized over the years. And sometimes I get stuck. Maybe you don't do that, but I do. I get stuck and I say, oh, wait a minute, I quoted that wrong. I might in my mind open up Psalm 91 or Psalm 23 or Proverbs 3 or some other place in the Bible, and I'll try to start quoting the verses that I know from those chapters. And I think, boy, did I mess that up? What's wrong with me? I can't remember how this verse goes. I can't remember where it's at. But then I'll start remembering the verses that I do have in my head and in my heart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 105, and again, this is that other verse besides Proverbs 6:23, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God needs to be prioritized in each of our lives. Now, I don't need to talk about what's been happening in our country here in good old USA. A lot of things seem to be out of control. God is never out of control. Understand that. There are those who say that things are falling apart, and a wise Christian will understand that things are basically falling together because the Bible tells us what the end days are going to be like. We understand that. But we still live here. A simple truth, the rapture ain't happened yet. Okay, we're still alive and living on this earth. We need guidance from the Word of God. We need guidance not from our political parties. We need guidance not from psychologists and all the rest of it. We need the guidance of the Word of God. And there's a lot of people out there, I know this for a fact, who they get their counsel from anything but the Word of God. Maybe something that sounds good. Maybe even something that sounds biblical, but yet it's not biblical in the way that it's applied. Why is it a lamp? Because it shows the person carrying it where the next step was. What's the next step? You know, sometimes your pastor doesn't know your next step. Sometimes he does, but sometimes he doesn't. But the Word of God will give you enough light to know what you should do. Pastor, what should I do? If you don't know the answer, then you do what you know to do. I've given that advice in recent days. In fact, someone a while back, even when they were dealing with someone, they said the same thing. If you don't know what to do, then you do what you already know to do in the meantime. You can't predict the future. You know, it says, oh, what are we going to do before the do what you know to do? Pray, witness, pass out gospel tracts, be a witness for the Lord Jesus, be faithful in your church, do the things you always knew to do and keep on doing them until the Lord shows you something else that you need to do. A light? Well, why a lamp and a light? Well, the light showed you what was down the road, you see. On Thursday night, we have lights hanging across our front porch. And we have a porch light that lights up and shows what's going on immediately. It lit up where the tables were. It lit up where the chairs were. It lit up all these different things right there. And then I had another light that was in our driveway that I had shining toward where we were. But in order to get to where Yvonne Penn's car was parked and where Hannah's car was parked, they needed a light to show them the rest of the path because those other lights just showed what was immediate. So I got out my long flashlight and I turned it on and I shined it down the pathway so they knew where to get where they were going. It did not show what was immediate, but it showed what was down the road. Same thing for Hannah when she went to her car and it was dark around the side of our house and I shined that light. What I am saying is this, if you'll catch what I'm saying, it is a lamp that shows us the next step, the immediate light, and it is a light that shows what's down the path. This takes us away from a myopic attitude that we only, maybe you remember the old commercial about Tootsie Pops. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop? And the old owl took that sucker and one. Two, three, and crunch. He said three. Well, I guess we'll, as the rest of the old commercial said, I guess we'll never know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. And you know that's true because you always bite into it if you've ever had one. Well, the bottom line is that with every step, you may not know the next step, but you've got a guide to take you down that path. But the Bible has to be a priority. My dad is in heaven now. And when I was growing up, I didn't know what I was going to do. I mean, before I ever surrendered my life to the Lord, I remember working, and my dad said to me, why don't you get you a job in construction? He said, there's all that big dirt out there that you can move. And I got to thinking about all the little dirt that, you know, you didn't have a big machine for that. And I used to do, one summer I baled hay, and if you've never baled hay, you've never lived. And one summer I worked laying asphalt and macadam, as they say in Pennsylvania, or blacktop like they say everywhere else. And one summer I did that. But that wasn't going to be my vocation. But I did not know what the Lord wanted. I remember I surrendered my life one night to serve the Lord in my church after Tom Wallace preached. But I didn't know what God wanted. I just knew right then that I needed to be surrendered. But it wasn't until my second year in Bible college that God showed me what he wanted me to do specifically. 2 years into college! And then I knew the next step. But I didn't know that before then. The Word of God helped me to know that. Had a huge decision that I had to make about stepping out of youth ministry, which I had been in for, we'd been in for what, 8.5 years, something like that, working with youth. But I was looking at an opportunity to serve the Lord in a church where I would no longer be a youth director. That was hard for me to accept because I knew where I was, but I didn't know what the next step was. And I opened up my Bible to Psalm 138, and I read verse 8, and I believe I said it out loud to Robin, where it says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And it's like that verse stood up off of that page like a neon sign flashing at me, that God was going to take away from me one thing and add something else to me to make me more of what he had saved me to become. And that's exactly how I made the decision. But I didn't know before then what the Lord had me do. So what I'm saying is this, there is no reason at all for the child of God to grope in darkness because we have the Word of God. There is no reason for the child of God to walk around wringing their hands wondering what the next step is, because we have the Word of God. And you got to remember, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But why? It was because they refused to obey the Word that the Lord had already given them. Had they been obedient, they would have been out of the wilderness in 2 weeks, I believe. But no, it took them 40 years. And disobedience brought to them defeat at the hand of their enemies and eventually death in the wilderness. And had God's word been the priority, this would never have happened. No, it would not have. And if you are not listening to God, you're listening to someone. And I only hope that they are as spiritual as God is, because if they're not, you need to listen to what God has to say. And so making the Word of God the priority in your life, it prioritizes your life. It gives you what you ought to do. In fact, even just this week, I was asking myself a question around that very thing. And I thought, well, Lord, this is my calling. In fact, I mentioned that to the Lord this morning. And I said, Lord, I made a promise to you a long time ago. And God continues to honor that promise. But sometimes I get to where I doubt. Are you like that? Sometimes you just get to the point where you doubt something. And I was reminded of what God's word had said. He'd give me light and a lamp from a path and from a feet. And I said, Lord, I made this promise to you a long time ago. I'm sticking to it. I'm not changing. And I'm not. You see, Pastor, are you tempted to change? No. Just had a question mark in the back of my head about some things, and I wanted to know what the Lord wanted. But the word of God came through. And came through true, and I'm so glad that it did. And aren't you thankful that we have the Word of God as we have it? How firm a foundation, the Word of the Lord. No, we don't need anything else to show us the way. We just need it. That is, if we'll get into it, and then we'll learn it and apply it. And as I mentioned this morning, prioritize the Word of God in our lives so that it can prioritize our day-by-day living.